Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Thursday, January the 22nd. Raining a little bit here in North Texas. Not a lot, but, you know, the kind of rain that tends to hold up traffic, if you know what I mean. It's the kind of misty rain. And I'm assuming it's going to be like this probably tonight as well as people are driving home. You know, when, for a while, my office was downtown Dallas. And what I would do on days like this, and in fact many days, I would stay until about 6:30. I get a lot of business done, make a lot of phone calls, let's say, that I wanted to do, and then get out at 6:30. And I found that I'd be home, you know, probably about the same time as if I left at 6 or even 5:30 because of the traffic, especially the tollway going north. So anyway, I'm sure that if you're in the Dallas area, you know what I'm talking about this nasty little weather that we're having at the moment. Not severe, but it's just enough, as I say, to hold up traffic quite a bit in our highways. Today we're going to be talking a little bit about what's happening with social media and these Catholic kids who go to that high school. Apparently there's some big things going to happen. They're promising a lawsuit or something like that. We'll get into it in a minute. Also the whole thing with the media and BuzzFeed and what exactly is going on when you have big mistakes like this and people just, it just seems like any time there's something anti-Trump, a bunch of people jump on the train and then find out later, of course, they're on the wrong train. But let me tell you about a couple of posts that I have over at the American Thinker this Tuesday morning. The first one is about the NFL. Look, I think we had two great games, and based on the audience, the television audience, they had tremendous audiences for these games, particularly the second game. Something like 54 million people were watching that game. So that's a big audience for any game, particularly on a Sunday afternoon. So I think the NFL is back. And it's amazing how it came back. Not a surprise to me, but we have to say it again. It came back because it devoted itself to playing football this season. No more kneeling, no more political speeches, no more political demonstrations. Just give us football, and we'll figure out the politics later. But just give us football, and the fans will watch. And that's what happened. I mean, I think the fans are now into the NFL again. There are always going to be some who just take a little bit longer. But I congratulate the NFL. I congratulate the NFL for listening to those of us who were saying, get out of politics and just give us football. And I'm happy that they decided to follow that advice. I also have a post at the American Thinker today about this young woman, Representative Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez, the young woman who represents the Bronx in New York, who's become a real celebrity. I don't know why, but she is. She's just a big celebrity. I mean, she's now invited on every show. She seems to have an opinion about everything. And she's got a couple of things going that are very interesting. She says that she was being asked about, gee, how are you going to pay for all these programs? And her answer was, who cares how are you going to pay for these programs? The world is going to disappear in 12 years because of climate change or because of what we're doing to the climate. Where did that come from, that the world is going to disappear in 12 years? I don't get that. Did I miss a study? I mean, there are all kinds of studies all the time. I remember the study that said we were going to freeze to death. Remember the cover on Newsweek? I think it was in the 80s that said we were going to freeze to death. And then Newsweek had another cover, I think, in the late 90s that we were going to melt to death because of the heat. Now I don't even know where we are. But we know all the predictions that Al Gore made, they all turned out to be wrong. Again, I'm not saying that we shouldn't be concerned about climate change or be concerned about the environment. Of course, we want to treat the environment with respect. But this kind of crazy stuff that the world is going to end in 12 years, so what's the point of even worrying about how you're going to pay for Medicare for all? Well, it's just immaturity. I just don't know what else to say about it. And then the other part that I find puzzling about this young lady is she's talking about the immorality of billionaires and the immorality of having people and how immoral it is. But yet she supports the abortion of a million babies every year. And we call that a woman's choice. A million babies are aborted every year in the United States, and we call that a woman's choice. She apparently doesn't have any problem with that kind of immorality. So, or at least that's not immorality in her views. It's just a woman's choice. Anyway, this is a very interesting young woman. And, you know, I don't know what to really make of her. I think she's getting a lot more publicity than she should. I don't think she's that important. My guess is that as we get closer to the election, you're going to see a lot of Democrats run away from her, because this is not a young woman who's going to help you win a district outside of the ones that you're going to win anyway. So I don't know. I really also don't understand her views of economics. I just don't know how this young woman got a degree in economics from Boston College. I have no idea what courses she took, but they were not the kinds of economics that I understand. Certainly 1 + 1 = 2 is kind of what I remember. This is a more of a Marxist approach to everything. And again, I don't know. I have no idea where any of this is coming from. There's a caravan down in Mexico now. It's in the south part of Mexico. I have no idea. I have no idea why Mexico let them in. I just have no idea why Mexico let them in. They have a caravan up in Tijuana sitting up there. They're not coming into the United States. So I have no idea why Mexico let them in. It's just one of those crazy things that I said it on the radio show a couple of times, that I felt that Mexico was not going to let them in. But they did. Now, what are they going to do with these people? They know they're not coming into the United States, so are they going to keep all these people? Are they going to encourage more Central Americans to go into Mexico? I don't know. It's just crazy. It's just crazy. Maybe President López Obrador is too distracted with this gasoline shortage going on in Mexico. You heard, I'm sure, about this horrible explosion they had in the state of Hidalgo, where something like 70 people were killed. Quite a few more injured, as I understand, and all because some people were stealing gasoline from a pipeline, and I guess it exploded. But, you know, López Obrador needs to start paying attention to these caravans, because nothing good is going to happen in Mexico with more and more of these caravans coming into the country. We're going to take a little break. I want you to hear from my friend Carlos, and then we'll be right back.
This is Carlos Guerrero Harpy. I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Sisiki's at the Star, located at 6765 Winning Drive in Frisco. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy music at 6:30 until 9:30 p.m. Make your reservation today at 972-377-2276. Remember, Sisiki's at the Star is the place to hang out on Saturday night. For upcoming dates, look for me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And we have a link to Carlos' website on the show information. Click on that, and it'll take you to his schedule. He's playing in quite a few places around town. Sam Cooke, the great singer, was born on this day in 1931. He died pretty young in 1964, but he was a great performer for the time that he recorded. I guess it was roughly 10 years that he recorded. He was just a fantastic performer, absolutely fantastic voice. A lot of great songs that he recorded in his prime. Sam Cooke, he recorded that song, You Send Me, I Love You for Sentimental Reasons, Wonderful World, The Chain Gang. I mean, just a lot of great songs that he recorded. Well, let's talk a little bit about this social media snafu. Is that the right word? At least the social media screw-up. First of all, it was BuzzFeed. I'm sure that you're all familiar with that one. That was a disaster. That just blew up in their faces. I mean, I remember being in the middle of that, because in the morning I was driving the Telemundo to do an interview, and they were asking me about it. And I said, well, look, you know, we don't have enough information. In fact, I'm hearing that this may be a little problematic with BuzzFeed is saying. Then it turned out to be in the evening, and in the next day, the whole thing blew up in their faces. And it makes you really wonder, you know, who's checking these sources? I mean, are they really the sources they're telling us? Because they always say this is a source close to the investigation. Well, whoever that source was didn't really know what the investigation was all about. So BuzzFeed was a disaster. It just blew up in the face of this particular organization, BuzzFeed, And then, of course, the people who ran with the story, much of it was CNN and MSNBC, to be expected. The other big story is with these Catholic kids who went to the march, the pro-life march. And, you know, at one point we were being told that these kids were insulting a Native American, and they were yelling at him and making signs and basically insulting a Native American with because they were wearing, I guess, these Make America Great Again hats, which is, I guess, racist now. If you wear one of those, you must be a racist. But anyway, it turns out that the whole story, as it was originally presented, was also wrong. By the afternoon, by Sunday night, and now yesterday, and now more and more, it's turning out that the whole thing, the story that we were told originally, was not just incomplete, it was incredibly incomplete. I mean, incredibly incomplete. Now we know the whole story, and now we know that it was not the young men who were taunting and insulting anybody, but it was people who were yelling at them and provoking them. And now you look at that young man who was, like, you know, sitting there smirking at that Native American person, and you look at that now and you go, man, that kid had a tremendous amount of self-control, because they were yelling horrible things at him. They were also yelling some things at a black member of the group too, which is interesting. They were yelling obscenities as him at him that as well. So I mean, but I mean, the black young man was with the group, and they were basically yelling at him that he's an Uncle Tom, a traitor, and you know what I mean. Well, now the big question is what happens next, and we understand that a lawyer in L.A. has agreed to represent some of the families. Exactly where this goes, I don't know. I'm assuming we're going to find out more or tonight, Tuesday night, or Wednesday. As I understand, they may have a press conference in the next couple of days to explain what their mission is or their objective is. Look, I don't know, honestly, whether they can sue any particular organization. I know that Twitter and Facebook allowed a lot of things to go out in retrospect that were very, very vicious, that were horrible about these young men. There's even somebody who works at Saturday Night Live who tweeted something so outrageous that you have to wonder how that woman even keeps her job. But anyway, that's not for me to say. But what happens next? I don't know. I don't know. Again, I don't know. I don't know how far these lawsuits can go. But as far as I'm concerned, I'm not so much interested in winning a lawsuit. I mean, I can certainly understand the parents of these boys have got to be furious, and if they were my sons, I would be furious too. But I don't know how far they can go with the lawsuits. But I think they ought to go after some of the individual members, some of the individual tweeters, if I could put it that way, some of the individuals who wrote these vicious tweets. I think they should go after them. They should go after them individually or as a group or whatever, and go after some of them and at the very least humiliate them in the public domain. You may not be able to get any money out of them or win any lawsuit or anything like that. It's very difficult to do, I know. But at the very least, you humiliate them and you expose them for what they are. They're just a bunch of crazy people who hate you if you're wearing a MAGA hat or a, you know, Make America Great Again hat, or if you're Catholic, or if you're marching in favor of life. They hate you. I mean, the reaction to these young boys was unbelievable. And I just think that we should be able to go after some of these individuals, some of the ones who were out there attacking them and saying vicious things about them. Look, I saw many of these tweets on social media over the last 24 hours. They were vicious. I mean, these are some of the horrible things. There's even somebody who was suggesting that they should attack the school. I mean, the school is closed today, Tuesday, because some of the parents decided the school district or the school itself decided not to open the school because of threats and concerns about the safety of the kids. So I think they should go after some of those individuals. They should go after some of them and hold them accountable for what they wrote and what they did. Again, I'm not sure they can go after tweets or Facebook, but they should be able to go after the individuals. They know who they are. They've got the names. They've got the tweets. Go after them and make them pay a price for what they did. Well, thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye, everybody.